Views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Live or Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Just getting confused on the time there for a minute, just starting out here this evening, but glad to have you with us here tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us until midnight tonight and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on the air. We just pray that we'd be a blessing, that we could be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Use us for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ and encourage believers along the way. And we just thank you for the opportunity. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we're just glad to be with you tonight. I want to mention you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Pray for my voice tonight. It's wanting to go out on me here a little bit. I was preaching at the nursing home today. I was doing fine. I was talking fine all morning, and got to the nursing home, and in the middle of the message at the nursing home, my voice started to go. I don't know what it is. Something with the change of the seasons, I guess. It's been cold. It's been rainy so much. I probably got moss growing inside of my throat, I think, right now. The result is we've had a lot of it, just drizzly day after day, it seems like, for about a week, I think. So it's just been kind of drizzly and wet. But I was doing fine after the nursing home, did fine our evening service tonight, and came up here. I was talking to my wife in the car on the way up to the station, and my voice started going a little bit. So hopefully it'll stick with us tonight here. But just a reminder, you can find us, like I said, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me, more about our church, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there, have them available as MP3 files there. You can also link to our Facebook page. We're online on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al, and you can find us there. Also, you can find us on Twitter. I don't use Twitter. I had to get a Twitter site in order to do the Periscope, and so I really don't know how exactly to direct you to Twitter on that. And maybe one day we'll develop something more with it. But we are trying to do Periscope. We've got several people watching on Periscope tonight. Appreciate that. You can find us there if you're familiar with Periscope. It's an app for your smartphone. I think you have to have an Android phone in order to download it. It's a free app from the Google Play Store. You can watch us on there. Had to establish a Twitter account in order to do the Periscope thing effectively. So there it is. And then after I found that, I realized too that there's a thing that you can do on Facebook where you can go live using your phone. So probably could have done it that way, but we started with the Facebook. So there we are. Periscope. So there we are. Maybe one day we'll get it down pat. We'll have it a little bit better. But I hope you'll stick with us tonight. Hope we'll be a blessing to you. And hope my voice will hold up here tonight, and probably try to get a cough drop here or something this evening so that I can hopefully keep my voice going a little bit. But let's see, a couple things I wanted to get into here tonight. Again, a reminder, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and love to have your question. Also gives me a chance to rest my voice a little bit if you're talking too. But I want to share a couple of things. I was looking at in the news here as we get started this evening. Sometimes I just like to go through some of the things that are happening in the news. And let me just try and call up a couple of things here that I wanted to look at here. That's interesting. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, he's a Republican from Louisiana, introduced some legislation this past week, I believe on Wednesday, that would, under this legislation, it would reinstate the right of pastors and churches to speak freely on political matters. And this is in regards to the Johnson Amendment. No doubt many of you, many of our listeners heard the statements from presidential candidate Donald Trump. He mentioned this in, I think, some of his press conferences. I know he mentioned it at the Republican convention here in Cleveland, Ohio last July, that he wants to work to repeal the Johnson Amendment. And the Johnson Amendment, basically, then Senator Johnson, who went on to become the vice president, of course, for John F. Kennedy, and then when President Kennedy was assassinated, Vice President Johnson then went on to become President Johnson. But the Johnson Amendment was basically a amendment that was attached to that limited the ability of a lot of churches and religious organizations and the pastors and nonprofits from expressing their views and exercising free right speech, free speech rights, and religious liberty in regards to some political matters. You say, well, churches shouldn't address political issues. They should just stick with moral issues. Well, you know, there's a fine line there sometimes, because most people would understand that abortion is a moral issue, but there's a lot of people, believe it or not, that say that churches shouldn't say anything about abortion because it's a political issue. And, well, it is a political issue, but it's also a moral issue. And same thing with same-sex marriage, same thing with homosexuals serving openly in the military, the bathroom issue. All these are moral issues. There's a lot of things that come out. Some you could make an argument that some of the Second Amendment rights and things have to do with moral issues as well. And so we can make a lot of arguments on the moral or the legitimacy of pastors and churches and religious organizations addressing some of these issues. But a lot of them are afraid of talking about these things because of the Johnson Amendment. They're afraid they're going to lose their tax exempt status as a consequence. And so we have Representative Scalise joined with Representative Jody Heiss of Georgia, a Republican from Georgia. They introduced last week they introduced an act called the Free Speech Fairness Act. And the Free Speech Fairness Act basically would take away the threat of churches and nonprofit organizations from being stripped of their tax-exempt status if they speak publicly about public policy or even endorse candidates for political office or public office. And it's kind of interesting because I knew something must be in the works I just thought it was that it was candidate for President Donald Trump and his statements about wanting to work to repeal the Johnson Amendment. And I had gotten a thing in the mail just this past week from Barry Lynn of America's, oh, I can't think of it right now. It's on the tip of my tongue. It's the group. It's one of those religious freedom or freedom from religion groups. Americans United for Religious Freedom, I think is what it is. At any rate, they sent me a letter to our church warning us that the Johnson Amendment doesn't take away my political speech, doesn't take away my freedom of speech, doesn't take away my First Amendment rights, but it merely protects them by protecting me from feeling that I should endorse candidates or talk too much about public issues in church or in church-oriented ministries. And I thought, well, that was kind of nice of Barry Lynn to tell me that I was being protected by being forced to keep silent on certain issues. That was quite nice, thoughtful of him, I thought. Yeah, say that with a straight face. But at any rate, this Free Speech Fairness Act is House Resolution 6195. And so if you're wanting to get involved, find out more about this, of course, you can Google House Resolution 6195, the Free Speech Fairness Act, and you can find out more about this. And I think it's time for this. It's something that the Johnson Amendment has restricted a lot of churches. Some churches don't worry about it too much, but a lot of churches do. And we know that in the last 8 years, the IRS has singled out a great many nonprofit organizations for their political speech and their views. And so, you know, we've seen the IRS be used as a tool, a bully tool, against a variety of groups. And so this does concern churches. And it's amazing how many people outside of churches say that pastors and churches aren't concerned about this. But at least in the circles that I'm in, just about all the pastors and all that I know of are concerned about this. And so we want to certainly let people know about this bill, the Free Speech Fairness Act, House Resolution 6195, and of course, Representative Scalise and Heiss that are sponsoring this. And hopefully we'll be able to follow some more of this and to see what's happening with this in the future. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Telephone number toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Edward calling in from Lakewood, Ohio tonight. And welcome to the program tonight, Edward.
Hi, I hope to give your voice a little bit of rest.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to weigh in on some stuff that you're saying. Thank you for informing us about H.R. Was it 6195?
Yes, I believe. Let me just back up in the article here and find that again. And in fact, I just found out about this recently myself. Yeah, House Resolution. So it's H.R. 6195.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out and for telling us what it's about. I think Barry Lynn is the counsel for Americans for Separation
that's
of Church
it.
And
yeah,
State.
That's it. Yeah, I was confusing that group. There's several groups, and they're kind of look-alike groups, but they're all of one purpose, and that's to silence born-again Christians.
Yeah, he basically took the phrase from, I think it was Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Association for January the 1st of, and I forget what year it is.
Right.
Anyways, 1801 or something like that, where he was, where Jefferson was talking about a wall of separation between church and state, and what he meant by that was that the First Amendment protects the church from the state.
Absolutely.
And what people are doing right now, like Barry Lynn, and I've corresponded with that character in emails, and he won't engage me very deeply on the issue, but what they're trying to do is deceptively, and in violation of Leviticus 19:11, they're taking that statement and standing it on its head and trying to say that the First Amendment to the American Constitution keeps the church out of the state, and it doesn't say that, it doesn't mean it. Now, regarding religion and politics, you might be interested to know that I think it's Article 1 of the Ohio Constitution, I believe it's Section 7, states in part that religion, morality, and knowledge are essential to good government.
You're religion. Absolutely right. I was going to say that also goes back to the Northwest Ordinance that preceded that.
You're correct. Yes. Yeah, so regardless of what Mr. Lynn says, regardless of what the Supreme Court of the United States says, which now does not know what a marriage is, religion is essential to good government, and that's in addition to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures talk about God being the king. It talks about law and government in there. I believe in 1639, the fundamental agreement or original constitution of the New Haven colony basically took the Bible to be their law book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something good to read. And I think that the people that have read the Bible and that understand it know that God does speak about government, and that he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, according to somewhere in Samuel.
Yeah. Well, and also they quoted the Old Testament of the Bible more than any other book when they were putting together our Constitution.
How about that?
And, you know, and something I like to point out, and I spent more time on it, but in the Constitution, you know, the First Amendment, what a lot of people fail to realize is that all of those things that are in there, freedom of religion, speech, press, and assembly, and petitioning the government for redress of grievances, most people don't realize that those are all occurring in one sentence, and they're all in support of the first one, which is the freedom of religion. Because, you know, think about it, and I like to point this out. If you think about it, if you're not allowed to express your religious beliefs, and this is partly because many of the colonies originally, and even after the Revolutionary War, some of the states had state-sanctioned churches. And if you preached in violation, taught in violation to the state church doctrines, you could be thrown in jail. You could be fined. You could be flogged. You could be banished. And these things happened in this country. And so if you think about it, if the state has the power to tell you what you can or cannot believe, then you do not have freedom of speech, do you? Because you can. Go ahead.
I guess that would adversely affect that.
Yeah, because they're telling you what you can or can't say in regards to what you believe, and you certainly can't write about it. So you didn't have freedom of the press. And for instance, in Massachusetts, they had before, when they were just a colony, they had a group of people that assembled together to hear a Baptist preacher that came from Rhode Island. And while they were there, the authorities came in, broke up the meeting, hauled them all off to jail. And what's the guy's name? Obadiah Holmes was flogged publicly on Boston Green there. And in most cases, quite possibly could have died from the nature of the flogging. And they didn't have the right to peaceably assemble. And when the government came, when the authorities came in and broke up their meeting, they didn't have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances either. And so you can see how all of those really are there to support the freedom of religion. And that's what it says: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And so all those other free speech, free press, free assembly, petitioning the government for redress of grievances, it all comes back to that. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, religion is the first of those. Just like it is in the Ohio Constitution, in I believe it's Section 7 of Article 1.
Yes.
I believe the first of those three is, and it's in order, is religion, mm-hmm. morality, and knowledge. The first being religion, are essential to good government.
Right.
And it doesn't say any particular establishment of religion. So I think that it wasn't sectarian, even though it could have been on a state level. But the federal constitution prohibits the Congress from respecting an establishment of religion. It does not say mm-hmm. Congress shall make no law respecting religion. It says Congress right. shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, comma, mm-hmm. or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So what I think that means, and I differ with the Supreme Court on this, what I think that means is the United States Congress shall not legislate to favor any establishment or denomination
right.
of religion, meaning Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and it's also not to prohibit the free or unrestricted exercise or practice of religion, meaning Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means practically is the Congress, not the states,
yeah.
the Congress is not allowed to ban Bible reading in public schools or praying to God in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
That's the practical application of that. Or the posting of God's Ten Commandments on public property.
Right. They're not they're supposed to be neutral. They're not supposed to go in, like you said, and favor one over the other. And, of course, like you mentioned about the Supreme Court, they later applied this to the states themselves, all levels of government. But as you point out in the Ohio State Constitution, I believe all 50 states have similar language in them protecting religious practice within each state. And, you know, the thing of it is, everybody likes to look at that establishment part and say, well, that means that if the government allows a school teacher to post the Ten Commandments in their classroom, that means the United States government is favoring Christianity over some other religion. I don't know why it's not Judaism over some other religion, because after all, it was a Jewish man that brought us the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. It wasn't a Christian. And if you think about it, they also ignore the prohibiting free exercise thereof. So it was to be a neutral, open field where people from all denominations basically could come and they could present their beliefs. They could feel free to say what they believe, why they believed it, and to allow a free exchange of ideas and then the freedom of speech and press, et cetera, that came as a result of that. So, but yeah, it's a religious neutral in that sense. And it doesn't say that Congress can't allow somebody to express their religion, because prohibiting the free exercise thereof is making a law respecting an establishment of religion. And it's also favoring the religion of secular humanism oftentimes over top of Christianity.
I'm going to disagree with you on that point, because I'm very particular about how that Constitution is worded
mm-hmm.
on this point, and I'm not trying to be antagonistic.
Oh, no, that's fine.
However, it's important. I believe for several reasons, and I'm trying to think if I can pull off the top of my head, it might have been John Adams' letter to his wife Abigail. I forget the date, but when he used the word religion or religious, he mentioned, I think it was five Protestant
mm-hmm.
denominations, and I believe the context of whatever word he used either meant Christian or Christianity, and there's other reasons too, but I take the narrow view in interpreting the word religion of the First Amendment to mean Christianity, so that when the Congress is not to respect an establishment of religion, they're not to favor any denomination of Christianity
right.
more than any other. Like they're not to set the Presbyterians over the Baptists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what I was saying.
But they're also not to restrict the free exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not to prohibit the free exercise of religion, meaning that, and my interpretation of that is that they're not to stop the unrestricted practice of Christianity. So
mm-hmm.
in that sense, I do not call Islam a religion. I don't even call Judaism a religion. I call Christianity religion, because the First Amendment uses the word religion in an exclusively singular sense, just like the word God or Christian. Those are exclusively singular
yeah.
terms. So there is no other God. There's not a plural for Christianity, and there's also not a plural for religion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it means
yeah.
Christianity,
and
if it's interpreted that way, we could get and keep freedom to practice Christianity in this country, and we could also ban Islam, so on and so forth.
Yeah, we have some similar views on that, because I do think that what was in mind here was specifically Christianity and the various denominations of Christianity,
yeah.
so that one denomination would not be favored over the other.
Right.
Although it is clear that they did have favorable views of the Jewish people who were in this country at that time. I know President Washington had written a letter to it's the oldest synagogue in the United States. It's in Rhode Island, which incidentally is a state that was founded on the freedom of religion, and it was one of the first states to freely allow, you know, the Jews to practice. But mostly, if you look at that, they recognize, and you know, we recognize that Christianity comes out of Judaism. In reality, it's the fulfillment of Judaism. And, you know, it's just the Jews kind of stopped. You know, when the Messiah came, they stopped. They didn't want to accept him. And in fact, all the original Christians initially came out of Judaism and then, of course, out of the Gentile nations. But, yeah, when you look at it, I do agree that the mention of religion here was primarily talking about Christian denominations, not about Islam and things like that.
Right.
And I would agree with that part.
Yeah, certainly. And I think over the years, the Supreme Court has taken a broad,
right,
liberal look at the word religion and has
and they've changed it to everything.
Yeah, they've opened the country up to idolatry, which is in contradiction of both the Old and New Testament. So I think, once again, the Supreme Court is wrong and the Bible's right.
Yeah, and that was my statement there that, you know, in telling people that they cannot practice their religion, oftentimes what they're doing is favoring secular humanism, which they've declared to be a religion, over top of Christianity. And, you know, and that wasn't the intent, obviously, of recognizing secular humanism by the writers of the Constitution, but the Supreme Court has interpreted it that way. And, you know, we do, and I'll apologize, we're running out of time here, Edward, and so we'll be breaking here in just a minute. But I was going to say that one of the things that we do recognize is our fundamental rights sometimes can have restrictions on them, like the famous, you know, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, and there's reasons for that. And when you look at a religion such as Islam, it is a very direct threat to our way of life, every bit as much as Nazism was, as much as communism was, and really even more. And so it is a danger, and more so than shouting fire in a crowded theater. I want to thank you for the call, Edward, and stay listening. We got another half hour to go.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to stick with and join in the conversation. And we had a little problem with our Periscope here during the break. I knocked the phone down and it locked up. It's always an experience. But we're trying to get that back online too, if you're listening and you are on Periscope. Wanted to mention too, of course, that we're brought to you tonight by not only the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And we mentioned this too, because a lot of people outside of the area, if you're interested in starting your own pizza business or adding pizza to your existing restaurant, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. Well, we're going to get back into our program here tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this evening and talking about a number of things that are happening in the world around us. I wanted to mention that if you're in Ohio listening, if you go online to ohioca.org, that's ohioca.org, the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide is now online, and you can request those if you'd like to get a hold of one of them. Even if you're outside of Ohio, you can go online. It's got the one page of the voter guide. It lists the positions of candidate Hillary Clinton as well as candidate Donald Trump, and it lists them. Let me just briefly read through the issues here, and you can find this at ohioca.org, ohioca.org. But the issues they have here for the presidential race, and you can download these voter guides. You can print them. You can put them out in your church. You can make them available. Despite the Johnson Amendment, you can put them out in your churches. It's perfectly legal. But there's the first issue they have listed here is government funding of Planned Parenthood. Hillary Clinton supports it. Donald Trump opposes that. The second one is building a wall on the United States southern border. Hillary Clinton opposes that. Donald Trump, no surprise, supports that. Third one is taxpayer funding of abortion. Of course, Hillary Clinton supports that. I believe there's the Hyde Amendment, if I'm thinking about this correctly, that was supposed to keep federal money from going to directly fund abortions, and I think she wants that. This is my thought here. I'm adding to it. I think she wants to have that removed so that the federal government can directly support. But anyway, she's in favor of taxpayer funding of abortion. And of course, Donald Trump is opposed to the taxpayer funding of abortion. Coal as an energy source. Well, coal as an energy source is opposed by Hillary Clinton, and it's supported by Donald Trump. That's why Donald Trump is winning handily right now in West Virginia, southeastern Ohio, coal country, basically, because he is for using coal as an energy resource. You know, we are the Saudi Arabia of coal in the world, and we have the technology today to burn it far cleaner than they ever could in the past. And so it is a good quality fuel. Next one that they have here, placing a hold on Syrian refugees migrating to the United States. Well, Hillary Clinton opposes that. Donald Trump supports that. In fact, from some of the things that I've been reading, Hillary Clinton actually wants to bring more Syrian refugees in more rapidly than what President Obama has been doing. Well, Donald Trump opposes that. He believes that we need to put a hold on them till we find out more what's going on there. Let's see. Here's the next one. U.S. withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Hillary Clinton supports that, and Donald Trump supports that. So they're in agreement on that one. The Iran nuclear agreement. Excuse me. The Iran nuclear agreement. Hillary Clinton, no surprise, she supports that after all. She was Secretary of State before John Kerry. She laid some of the groundwork for that, so she supports it. No surprise there. Donald Trump, however, opposes it. And let me add something in there. It's interesting. Donald Trump has recognized that Israel is a very special ally of the United States in the Middle East. He had a meeting with Netanyahu recently, and in the course of the meeting, he supported the idea of Israel's longstanding relationship with America as a staunch ally. And also, something that I was encouraged by, he supported the thing that our Congress has already voted on, saying that Jerusalem should be recognized as the capital of Israel, a united Jerusalem, I might add. The UN, I believe, wants to divide Jerusalem. All right, here's another one. Repeal of Nationalized Health Care Act. Hillary Clinton opposes that. Donald Trump supports it. Repeal of the Johnson Amendment that restricts religious free speech. Hillary Clinton, it's unknown her position there, but Donald Trump, no surprise there, since he said this in his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention. He supports it. Next one, renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement. It's unknown what Hillary's position is. Donald Trump supports renegotiating that. During the debate, in fact, last week, he called it one of the worst things that ever happened. So, and then the final one that they have here is the full repeal of federal estate tax. That basically you work all your life, you earn a living, you buy some property, you accumulate some money, you pay taxes on all of that, and then when you die, the government wants to come in and take more tax money out of the money that you already pay taxes on. Well, full repeal of federal estate tax, Hillary Clinton opposes it, Donald Trump supports that. You can find that at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. And just a program note, if you're in an area where you can hear our Friday afternoon program, I'm on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 on AM 1220 The Word here in Northeast Ohio. But I'm going to be joining with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He's on from 1 o'clock until 1:30, the half hour before me. And on not this coming Friday, but the following Friday, we're going to be combining our programs Friday, October 14th. And we're going to be talking about some of the issues that are revolving around this election coming up. And so we'll be on his program and my program on Friday, October 14th. If you're not in an area where you can hear us, you can go online, you can go to website for AM 1220 The Word, which is whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com on Friday, and you can listen to us live there, or you can go to our website, liveatpastoral.com, and I believe I have a link there to the radio as well. So just wanted to mention that, and hope you'll be able to tune into that coming up on Friday, October 14th. And if you're in Ohio, there's a lot more on the ohioca.org, the Ohio Christian Alliance voting guide, dealing with some of the local and state races, regional races in Ohio across the state of Ohio. So you can download that. You can even print that off. You can download a PDF there. All right. Well, we'll get back to our phones here, and you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have Tom calling, I believe, from Girard, Ohio tonight. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, Tom. Welcome. Haven't talked to you in a while. How you doing?
Yeah, I know. It's been a while, huh? I got married.
Yes.
And her son, my stepson, decided to butt in, and he's destroying everything.
Okay. Well, what we need to do on the program here is to kind of focus on what can we pray for you about, maybe.
Oh, okay, for everything there. And now, look, I had to find him so she can come back here because now I have a protection order against him.
Okay, well, Tom, when you're talking about protection orders, we can't talk about that on the radio because that brings up legal matters. So, we won't be able to talk about that on the radio, but... if you got something else, otherwise, we'll have to talk about that off the air.
Okay. Yeah, I do have something.
Okay.
If, to remember your phone number, the guy had brain surgery years ago, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Lord gives me, ways to remember things.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to remember the number, I have to remember is 8.
Okay, for the radio program?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, and you can remember it by, what is it? It's 888-677-WORD. But I struggle trying to find the letters on there. So.
Yeah. I found out the way I do is you know, 888. Now, you can't say cop's word because it's like your word against cop's word. So you have to take off the C because that's cop's.
Yeah. Okay.
So 8 ops word.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we try to repeat the phone number too, because different people remember it better different ways. So, but I appreciate that, Tom. I do have somebody else calling in too. We want to get to you as well. So,
okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you wanting to help our listeners to remember the phone number better. And like I said, 888-677-9673 or 888-677-WORD is the number. And if you're like me, I look at the phone, especially before I went to my smartphone. Yeah, I would look at the letters and I would be thinking, okay, W. You know, I remember growing up with the old rotary phone. You could see where the letters were right there and you could dial WORD easily. But number 888-677-9673, and we've got Nancy calling in here this evening. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call, and I just wanted to put my stamp of approval on that wonderful voting guide, because I believe you're the one that put it on your Facebook, and it's excellent.
Right, I linked to it on our Facebook page, and again, just a reminder, ohioca.org. Any church in Ohio, you'll find, I think they cover all of the state issues there. And then, of course, the national one dealing with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is a good resource for anybody listening, whatever state that you're in.
I thought it was excellent. Now, my question tonight is about Luke 14:26.
All right, Luke chapter 14.
Luke 14:26.
Mm-hmm.
If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, sister, yea, and his life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, you hear some preachers saying you must not miss any sermons, you know, the church comes before your family. And then you hear other arguments that if, say, somebody's lonely in your family and they want you to stay with them, then that would come before church. So I would just like your take on that in reference to this particular Bible verse. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, this is when we look at this passage here, Luke chapter 14, verse Where is it here again? Not 21. 26. There we are. I just missed it there. Yeah, he starts here. And in fact, I'll read the start of the sentence in verse number 25 where it says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And this is one of those types of passages that sometimes, you know, people will say, well, that's a contradiction, because elsewhere in the scripture, you know, we're told to love our husbands, you know, love your wives, the Bible specifically says, and we're to love and honor and obey our parents. The Bible teaches that children are to love and to honor and obey their parents. And we know that we're to love the brethren. So what are we talking about here when he says that we ought to, instead of loving wives and husbands, loving parents, loving children, loving brothers and sisters? What is he talking about hate here? And see, when we use the word hate and love, we're looking at it on an opposite type of a thing. You know, either you have these tremendous positive feelings called love, or these tremendous negative feelings called hate. Sometimes in the scripture, the word hate doesn't mean tremendous negative feelings. What it means is that compared to the love that we have for God, it's as if we have no feeling toward these others, you know, relative to the love that we have for God. And so it's like hatred compared to that. So it's not having tremendous negative feelings for your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, and your own life in order to be his disciples. It's that the love that you have for him needs to eclipse the love that you have for anything else. But
I sort of knew that, but I wanted to know what is your opinion? Like, some preachers will say you must not miss church, and yet they, like, somebody feels like they want to be with their mother or father, like they're lonely or something.
Right. Well, that's
what do you think is the correct action to take?
Well,
a parent has had surgery and is lonely at the hospital or something like that. Is that justified?
Yeah. Let me start with an extreme position. Okay.
Okay.
We'll take an extreme position. Let's say that you're getting ready, and I'm not going to say me, because my position as a pastor is a little different, because, you know, the service is kind of dependent on me being there and things. But let's say that you're getting ready for church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, whatever it might be, or maybe midweek service Wednesday night or something. You're getting ready. You're ready to go out the door, and you're ready to head off to church. In your heart, you want to be there. But something happens, you get a call, and you find out that your mother, your father, or somebody has been in an accident or something happened, and the ambulance has taken them to the hospital, and they're, you know, they may die. Now, I'm purposely painting this with an extreme position, okay?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Now, what would you do? I mean, if I had somebody who was coming to church, and they missed church, and I asked them where they were, and they said, well, Pastor, I want you to pray my mother, or my father, or my sister, my husband, my wife, or, you know, my child was injured in an accident, and they were rushed to the hospital, and we were afraid they were going to die, and I went there to be with them and, you know, to be there for my family. I would say, well, what can I do to help? I wouldn't say, well, you should have put church before your family. You know, so I use that extreme position because it's easy to see it there, okay?
Yes, it is. I'm talking about the gray area.
Yeah, now that's what I'm saying. We know that it's easy to see there, and of course, I don't want to run out of time here before here, but now we start bringing it down to other things, and there are some cases where, you know, it's a case where you could say, well, you know, they really need me right now. They're going through a rough time, and nobody else is able to go and sit with them or be with them or help them. And that's understandable, you know, and we think about it. Our family came, you know, that was the first thing that God created, was the family. That was long before churches ever came into the picture. And so I believe that there's a certain amount of deference that ought to be given to family and things of that nature. But by the same time, or token, we need to be careful that it doesn't become an excuse not to go to the church services. Now, obviously, when there's things happening, and let's take another position, sort of gray, but sort of not. Let's say that your child is going to school out of town, out of state even, and it's time for them to graduate, and you want to go to be with them in their graduation. Well, you're going to miss church services because you're out of town and all. I think that's an understandable thing because the love and support that you want to show your child for what they've done. So sometimes you can make the case, but see, when it becomes habit forming, when it becomes an excuse, well, you know, I can use this as an excuse. I really didn't want to go to church tonight anyway. Yeah, I really didn't want to hear that message. You know, I really didn't want to feel like I was going to have to put something in the offering plate tonight because they had that special offering going
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Now, what about when Jesus was calling his disciples and he told, it seems, if I remember correctly, he told them to just leave everything. I mean, don't even go home to talk to you. Just come with me right now.
Yeah.
It sort of bothered me.
Yeah. You know, I'll have to touch on that real quick because I got less than 3 minutes. But basically, there were people who said they wanted to be his disciple and follow him. And he said, listen, you got to give up everything. And they weren't willing to do that. And it's kind of in a similar situation today. There's people who say, well, I want to follow Christ as long as I don't have to drive an old beat up car, as long as I don't have to make less than $60,000 a year, as long as, do you see what I'm saying?
Interesting.
We put restrictions on, we say, well, Lord, I want to follow you. But then we put restrictions on what kind of conditions we'll follow him under. And that's what these people were doing. Well, Lord, I want to follow you, but, well, you know, first I want to wait until my family's gone. You know, wait till my parents have died. Then I'll follow you. And Jesus is saying to them, hey, if you're not going to follow me now, you're not going to follow me then. It's just like people who talk about going into full-time Christian service or being a missionary. They say, you know, I want to be a missionary. And their pastor talks to them and says, well, what are you doing for the Lord now? And they say, nothing. And he says, well, what makes you think then is going as a missionary and going on the foreign field, you're going to do something there if you're not doing something here? And, you know, and it's the same way with serving Jesus. If somebody is not willing to say, Lord, I'll go with you whenever you want. Now, God is a sensible God. He's going to work with you in your situation so that you can be a blessing to others, so that you can reach people with the gospel and be a help and encouragement to your family. And the Bible talks about honoring your father and mother. That's the first commandment with promise that you might have a long life. And so there's a lot of things there that we understand. You know, the husbands, love your wives, and children, obey your parents and the Lord and all these things. So we understand the responsibilities there. We understand the responsibilities even to something as secular as our job. But by the same token, when those things become something that become a hindrance to us serving God because they're more important than God, well, then we love them more than we love God. So then in effect, we love them and we hate God because we love them greater. And that's what he's talking about with the whole love-hate thing.
I do understand. Yeah. I understood about that word hate. It wasn't really like really hating. It's just
Hey, I hate to interrupt here. We've got 20 seconds left. But time really goes when we get into a good subject, doesn't it? But I want to thank you for bringing that up. And that's something we need to put God first and foremost. And amazingly, God will give us the desires of our heart oftentimes. Thanks for the call tonight, Nancy. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay.
Good night, God bless.
Thank you.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.